Wednesday. Everybody, welcome back to the Couchside Judges. I'm Scott Fontana. Follow me on Twitter at Scott_Fontana.
And I'm Dan Urban. Follow me at the Dan Urban. Follow the podcast at Couchside Judges and subscribe to us everywhere, including YouTube.
And I recommend everybody get sleep, because sleep's cool, and I don't have enough of it right now. So that's my tip. Go get sleep.
Yes, and read the scoring criteria. That it may help.
Not in your sleep, though. Yeah. That, you got to do it separate. It doesn't work. I think most people tend to read it in their sleep, and then they get nothing. Mm. Yeah, that's the key. So, Dan, it is Wednesday. How do we get here? How do we get to Wednesday?
We got to Wednesday. I don't know, but I like it a little bit.
I don't like it.
Some of us work Monday morning early. Scott.
Yeah, well, some of us work till 1:30 in the morning on Monday morning too.
I know, but Wednesday is a little easier.
It was in this case. It would have been nice to have done, you know, it earlier, because it's too far. Everybody's already thinking about, like, PFL's tomorrow.
That's awesome.
How weird is that?
We got Piffle tomorrow.
I like it on Thursday.
It's a good, I love midweek fight night. It's what it should be.
I also do. It moves to Friday, the next two, but I'm okay with that too. Mm. So I swear, if PFL goes head to head with UFC for anything other than like their championship events, or like, let's say Francis Ngannou's fighting or something like that, and it's going up against, latest Apex card, I'm going to be so frustrated. Because there's a clean window to just carve out your audience without having to make them choose, because they won't choose you.
It's really, and since they both are, is PFL still on ESPN? No, they're on Max now, right? Or is PFL on ESPN?
No, Bellator's on Max.
Oh, so confusing. Okay.
You gotta keep track. And Max has just changed its name. It's now Justin, because they're Team Gaethje.
Okay.
That's a little
joke. Did you see...
Explain.
Hey, did you see Ali misspell Jim Miller on Twitter the other day?
I didn't, but that's honestly, give him a break. That's a hard one.
Yeah, he said something like, Justin Gaethje, most exciting fighter next week on the card, pay-per-view, tune in. And I was just so shocked that he spelled Jim Miller that wrong.
This guy, you got to keep your eye out. I'm working on something.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. You will probably like it. But yeah, so more or less, the reason why we were delayed is at least a combination of me taking on some very, very, very late shifts of late and getting back from Atlantic City for the most recent UFC event at 4:15 in the morning. That was a drive, dude. That was not fun.
Yeah.
Because I had to get back for Easter stuff.
Yeah, Easter. You know what? I didn't know.
You're the casual who just said, oh, I'm going to hang out with family.
I didn't know Easter was Sunday. Kind of just snuck up on me.
Yeah, honestly, it snuck up on me too, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter, because the Easter Bunny knew when it was coming and still dropped off stuff for the kids, so that was good.
That's good.
Yeah. The I don't need to know it, because the Easter Bunny knows it. I'm not the Easter Bunny.
All right. Not. So why don't we dive into the card that you were there for?
I don't know. Why don't we just call it a good show? This is a decent show, just talking about this. I think we're done.
All right.
Well, thanks. No, So obviously this was, I thought this was at least on paper setting up to be like a reasonable fight night. I thought I appreciated the way it was structured. I think you have a real important fight up top, but maybe not one that would ever be considered for a main event elsewhere, but it allows it to get five rounds for big stakes. Right. And then Mendonça Ferro goes out and she shows that she is very much a stronger, more ready woman to compete at the top of the division than Erin Blanchfield is at this point. That's kind of what I saw. Would you agree?
I don't know if she's more ready. She fought a great fight. She did what she had to do. It was boring as hell.
What I mean by more ready, just to clarify, is when Erin Blanchfield wanted to take the fight down, she just got shucked off. And there was a very clear strength differential there.
Well, yeah, I think that's basically what it came down to.
It definitely came down to the strength. That's what I kind of mean as far as, you know, being like she's ready for this tougher upper level division, because the fighters up here, they're different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Erin Blanchfield is quite ready for that yet. She's still got a little bit of, and I don't mean to be like body judging here, but she's got a little bit of, you know, baby fat on her still, and she doesn't look as strong, but now we've seen it. She is not as strong as Mendonça Ferro. she doesn't have to go out there and put together the same type of muscle tone and that kind of thing, but she's obviously strength deficient, and her best way to win is getting it down. And if she can't get it down, she can't win.
You think she drops the 115 or tries to?
No, I don't think that. I don't know that that's really in the cards. I think she's still 25er, but I think I would like to see, you know, maybe a little more effort put in, or maybe some results put in for like the actual strength part of strength and conditioning. You know, she's very well conditioned. There's no doubt she can fight for five rounds, and she was game. I actually gave her the fourth round. I watched it back on TV because I was scoring it live from the arena. I don't necessarily see it that way anymore, but I thought there was a case to be made it live.
No, neither does anyone who replied to you.
No, they weren't very kind, were they? No. I like, you know what? So most of the time they're like, bro, you're on crack. I'm like, that's dumb. Like, I know I'm not on crack, so whatever. So one of them was like, God, you should have your credentials pulled. I'm like, all right, at least that's like, you know, that's like a reasonable like insult at me. I can understand that. I appreciate that. They're not going to pull my credentials, though. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. Not for that.
Well, your score counts. That's why.
Yeah, well, there's also that. I have the most important score of the fight. And this is why I hate live scoring fights from my media seat. I had a good seat. Like, you saw me on TV. I had some nice compliments on my shirt, thanks to Jay Petrie and Spencer Kite. Thank you very much, guys. I picked it out for you. but yeah, it's still hard. You're not close. Like, you're very far away. There are very clear obstructions. There's more fence in the way the farther back you are. So you can miss a lot. Not a big fan of doing it.
Yeah.
And it teaches me the lesson. Don't do it for the main event, because then everybody's just going to yell at me. But also, to be fair, I don't really care that they yell at me. I just don't.
Yeah.
But anyway, as far as Manon Farrell, should she be next for the title, and should she wait for that possibility?
She should be next. Okay. I think she should wait, because she has earned that spot.
Think that might be a mistake for her?
Like I said, it wasn't the most exciting win. Yeah. And as you brought it up last week, that might leave the door open for someone to sneak in and get one before.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
So I really wish, like the commentary was saying, I wish she did put a little more effort into finishing.
Yeah. No, that's a fair. I didn't watch the whole fight back on the commentary, so I don't really know. But that makes a lot of sense to me. I think she definitely needed to be more impressive than she was. But as I keep pointing out to people, she's got the whole French thing. You know, that's a big market, and I could see the UFC saying, you know what, we'll make it happen, because we wouldn't mind having a French champion. That would help us there.
Yeah. As your other question, should she wait? I think she should wait. I don't know how long the other two are going to be out, though. So if it becomes too long, like,
yeah, how about, let's amend it. Should she wait one full year? Like, let's say she doesn't get a fight again until March.
No way.
Okay.
Full year. No way.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking like the fall.
That would be a bad idea.
I was thinking fall, like the latest.
Yeah, that makes sense. But even at that, who would she fight? Would it just be she'd have to take one, like, the fight against either Rose or Macy Barber, because there's no other logical opponent?
No.
Well said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who else would. Tatiana Suarez? I don't know.
Tatiana Suarez would make some sense, but I think she's still fighting at 115.
Oh, she went, okay. Yeah.
She took a return fight at 125, but I'm pretty sure she's focused on 115 still.
All right.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't have any more opinion on that. I guess, you know, we'll see how it develops, but it is a tricky situation, and it was not billed as like the winner gets the title fight, but I think everybody knew the winner ought to get the title fight. Yeah. So we'll see how the machinations of the UFC go for this one, right? And also, I mean, realistically, like, she's gonna probably try to stay ready, or they're gonna have her try to stay ready as a fallback opponent, because as we know, it's really more about getting that title defended than making sure the fight happens. So opportunity knocks. It was a weird event, though, Dan. As we all know, we had eight finishes, and only I think it ended up being four fights went like the full distance, because we did have that technical decision. But the technical decision was part of just this flurry of, let's say, interesting adventures in officiating. I'm trying to be kind here, because not all of them are like bad or anything like that, right? But like, I think we got to get into these, right?
We should get into it.
Let's start with, of course, the big one of the night, and that was Chris Weidman, who did pick up that technical decision. Which, by the way, technical decisions because of eye pokes and New Jersey just go together. Same thing happened. What was it? I believe almost exactly 10 years and like shy of a month or something like that. With Michael Bisping, who was on the call against Alan Belcher. Did he mention that, by the way? Did that come up?
Not that I can recall.
Just let that go by the wayside.
I don't recall that. I don't know.
Well, next time, keep your eye on it. Why are you laughing? What's so funny about that? Anyway. as we know, Chris Weidman goes out there. There are a lot of eye pokes both ways. Probably safe to say more of them from Weidman than from Silva. And then Chris Weidman hits him with the 1-2 eye poke to finish the fight. And which, I mean, when we're sitting cage side, from my vantage point, I don't see that. I see the two punches land, and there was a noise. Like, it hurt. You heard it. Obviously, it was a very terrible noise for an eye poke, but it sure sounded like connection of a punch. So everyone's celebrating. The arena's roof is blown off. And then we find out later, of course, that yes, it was eye pokes that led to the end. They announced it as a TKO. They go back a few minutes later. Buffer makes the announcement. They've changed it to a technical decision, or that it actually was a technical decision. I hear a lot of conflicting things from people, like maybe the gun was jumped on announcing it and they were still trying to figure out, and maybe the UFC moved on a little too quickly. And I hear all sorts of stuff like, what could they have done? You know, could they have gone for the no contest? Is that not an option? Is it? You know, depending on who I've talked to, several people have given me several different answers.
Oh, okay.
Which is always good. And the people I'm talking to, by the way, I'm not saying like Joe Schmo who's saying take away my credential. I'm talking about like people who work in the sport. And it's been interesting hearing all of the varied takes on how things could have been done. I saw Big John McCarthy was saying that the technical decision was actually the right call. I tend to favor that. I don't know where you sit.
Yeah. Oh, Big John's been very vocal. I don't even as far as correcting Brendan Fitzgerald.
Well,
about history of the MMA, but back to the rules, I kind of would think he would know, and I would probably agree.
Why would Big John know the rules of this sport?
Well, didn't he write them?
Oh, he's a part of that group that wrote them. Yes, I don't think he did the whole thing. Imagine he didn't have the pen. Although maybe he's the one who likes all the all caps words in there. I don't know. I don't know who did that. Maybe that was John.
Yeah.
And he is Big John, right? He got the name Big John because he loves his capital letters.
I think they wrote it in WordPad and not Word.
Is that
because of the single spacing?
Okay. All right.
That would be my belief.
I mean, you can do that in Word too. Also,
you can, but you have to go. It's like the default setting is double space. Or at least line and a half.
To fewer pages, huh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, neither here nor there. There's obviously a bunch of ways you could go. You can, in fact, go the no contest route because, as it was explained to me by a regulator, you're stopping the fight and it's over, as opposed to, hey, he was poked and he cannot continue. So that put the that would have put the no contest on the table by doing it this way. Disqualification obviously is available. I do think it's hard to disqualify Chris Weidman because I think he won two rounds of this fight without the eye pokes being like the reason he was winning the fight. So I hate to take it away from him in that instance. I would hate to take it away from anybody in that sense, but I don't know. It's a tough one. Where do you sit? Like, what would you have done? Would you have done it that way?
Well, so the fight was stopped because of the follow-up strikes.
Yes.
But the result of him going down is because of the eye pokes.
Yes.
So let's put out the notion that you can restart this. I've seen some people say just restart it.
Yeah, you can't do that way, but it's not available.
You can't do that. Just because of the weight, because of the follow-up strikes. Because if it's not stopped there, he's still punching him in the head.
Sure.
On Wednesday. So, I don't know. I think the tech decision's probably the way to go. Probably take a point.
I say two, actually. I say two because it impaired the fighter's ability, obviously. It diminished him as a fighter, and I think you have to take the point for that. And also, it was repeated and kind of gratuitous.
I think
you can take the point for each one. That's how I feel.
Okay.
It doesn't matter because when we get to the cards, everyone had 30-27, so that would come down to 28-27, we're just talking about procedural stuff as opposed to, like, you know, changing the actual result. But I would rather see 2 points taken there. I think it's good precedent.
Yeah, and I mean, and he took a point earlier in the night.
Yes, so, same ref, like, which we'll talk about in a
minute. So he's not shy about taking points.
Yeah.
I think maybe we got to...
That was Gary Copeland, by the way, referee Gary Copeland.
The foul is also extending the fingers. You know, don't even have to make contact.
It's true. So, and they were incredibly extended.
Like, I just don't get why guys have to, we can't just close their fists. I really don't understand it.
They're sloppy. They're striking is sloppy. That's why.
I just don't get it.
Chris Wyman does not have the prettiest striking. There's a lot of pawing. There's a lot of this. It gets the job done, but it's never been pretty.
No. All right. Oh, well, you know what? Wait.
All right. What do you got?
The elbow versus Mark Munoz was beautiful.
Yes. That one single strike. Give it to him. Sure. But, like, would you look at him and be like, man, this is the guy you got to emulate striking?
Oh, no.
No, not even close. No. would he be in the bottom quarter? I would say probably.
Yeah.
obviously a giant mess. I do think they arrived at the right end point as far as the general result. I would have just changed things along the way. Yeah, it's just a crummy situation, and realistically the fighters really just need, you always hear me complain about the gloves and I want to see different gloves. I don't actually believe that would have helped here. I think there's fights where it would. This would not have.
Yeah, no, this is, I don't think there's any equipment. But
it was both of them. It was both of them, Dan.
Both guys did poke each other.
They were super sloppy. I think I told you this. I forget if I brought this up on the show already, but I was having a conversation with Jim Miller recently, and it was his idea to, every time there is an eye poke, he stuck with just eye pokes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he feels this way about other fouls, but for eye pokes in particular, you start fining fighters for eye pokes, they will almost disappear. That was what he was thinking.
I'm glad you brought it up. I wanted to bring it up. I didn't know if it was a subject we could touch on yet, but I'm glad.
Yeah, no, it's mine. It's fine to bring up. Yeah.
So I'm totally on board with that. You poke a guy, you lose $5,000. That's it.
Now, are you on board with it because Jim Miller said it or because it's a good idea?
Why can't it be both?
It's not mutually exclusive. Fair enough. and the weird thing is, this preceded, or I should say, followed another fight that was stopped because an eye poke led to the finish, and what is his first name? I'm gonna mess it up, right? You want to try it first? I want to hear you try it.
His last name?
His whole name. On the whole name.
Okay. Give me a second.
I'll let you brief yourself.
Okay.
I'm always throwing it out there. You go.
Nursultan?
I believe it's Nursultan.
Nursultan Ruzhabayev.
Is it Ruzhabayev or Boev? I don't know.
I'm going to go with Baev.
All right. Well, anyway, he got the victory over Cedricus Dumas, who, and look, things didn't work out well for Cedricus Dumas. He gets poked in the eye. And it does kind of contribute to that finish there, right?
Yep.
No one's feeling bad for this particular individual because, he's got a, let's say he's got a laundry list of infractions with the law, often involving a woman. So not getting a whole lot of sympathy. Having said that, we got to talk about this particular handling of the foul. And this was, the referee in this case was Shaolin Vitor Ribeiro.
Yes.
Let's look at the main event assignment. That's the first time I remember him getting a UFC main event, which was cool.
Mm.
But what did you think of this situation?
Well, see, Cedricus Dumas doesn't really protest it. He's like, he was called before the finishing, he gets finished. He's calling, hey, I got poked in the eye.
Sure.
Shaolin doesn't see it, fight on.
He's a little far away from it, too.
And he gets finished, and he doesn't protest it. So, I mean, I kind of feel like maybe... I mean, it definitely contributed to it, but maybe Dumas isn't putting it on that completely, and he just accepted.
Maybe he's just not thinking about it in that moment, though.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know what you do. Can you go to replay in that sense and turn it into? That was early in the fight. That would definitely be no contest then.
Yeah, yeah. So, no contest is very much on the table at that point. I think if for some reason you are going to not give Ruzhabayev or Boev the victory by TKO. I think you do absolutely no contest this one and just say, listen, shenanigans happened, it didn't work out, and we're going to try again another day. Or maybe we won't. We just move on. I liked hearing Dumas be like, we're going to run that back. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, they're not going to run.
That's not going to happen again.
And that's not a priority. it's just never gonna happen. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't necessarily have a whole lot of like blame, I guess, to assign to Jalen here in this case. I think he didn't see it. Sometimes the referee just isn't in position to see it, right? It was a bad angle. He's a little farther away. Everything kind of added up to not seeing exactly what happened there. So I don't necessarily feel bad about it. It was also, I believe it was on the opposite side of where he was, which is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like the referee can only do what they do. Can instant replay come into play in that case? I wonder if that would have been the right call to just be able to do that if available and say, listen, we have an issue where the clearly the stoppage at least was influenced by the eye poke. And I think that's probably where you say, okay, maybe we got to do something here.
Yeah. I don't think it was as bad an eye poke as Weidman and Silva.
Well, no, like I said, that was a 1-2. Yeah. That was the left poke, right poke. That's, or was it right, left poke? I can't remember.
Left, right, grazing, left hand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. He did also have a punch in there at some point. That punch was like when you're playing Mortal Kombat and you've got like a sliver of health left and someone hits you with the jab and you like, oh, and you're dead.
Like Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, well, that was a little different. That was, to be fair, the stats are a little weighted in Anderson Silva's.
I've seen that knockout like 25 times in the past week. In the past week, because at the UFC gym on the treadmill, they have like the greatest knockouts on repeat on the one TV. So I've seen Nat, I've seen Derek Lewis, I've seen countless others. Some subs in there.
I don't think I knew you were going to UFC gym.
Well, yeah. Well, it used to be 24-hour fitness. Now it's UFC fit or UFC gym or whatever it is.
I see. Was not aware. Honestly, I think it's just hard luck for Dumas. But again, I don't feel bad.
Yeah. What can you do?
Not even. Yeah, what can you do? Hey, what you gonna do?
What do you want from me? Yeah.
What do you want from me? It's a very good reaction after a Jersey event. We're not even done with the adventures in officiating, though, because we're back to Gary Copeland in the fight earlier in the night, I should say. We're actually going earlier back in the night for another foul-related incident.
I think this is a positive one.
This is a positive one in the sense that somebody got kneed in the nuts.
Yeah.
And that's, as we know, is always better.
Yes.
in this case, it was Julio Arce going against Herbert Burns, first time back in the cage since his brother carried him out of Long Island when we were there.
Yep.
Doesn't go his way. Loses in the second round after he loses total steam. But in the first round, a couple knees repeatedly right against the cage, like one after another. One warning, like a good warning, and then another one like, yeah, okay, guy, come on, you can't throw that. So Gary Copeland, once again, takes away 1 point from Herbert Burns. When you say this one's positive, I'm assuming what you mean is you agree with the way it was handled.
Yeah, I like the point deduction here. Mm-hmm. It was a second foul, same position, same exact thing he was told not to do.
And like right after another two. It was like a minute apart.
So take a point there. I like it.
I think absolutely. 100%. I don't know what the point is. Herbert Burns doesn't have the most pretty striking either. I would say he's probably even much farther below the Chris Weidman category there. Because at least Chris has been doing it a long time. He's shown that he can use his striking, even if it's not pretty, it's effective. I don't know that anybody's looking at Herbert Burns' game and being like, yo, watch out for him on the feet, dude.
Mm.
Like, he's got, it's not that he's Damian Maia up there, but he's not, that's not what you're fearing, right? So he's throwing knees out there recklessly. Maybe just don't throw that kind of knee, you know, to that particular spot. Shoot for a different spot. But, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are
you? That should be, you should get a t-shirt. What are you going to do? one more. And we're actually going back to the main card here right before the Ruzabayev and Dumas fight, because we had a triple threat of adventures in officiating here. Gary Copeland, once again, our referee. This stoppage in this fight with Kyle Nelson getting the win over Bill Algeo. This one, a lot of people didn't love, right?
Didn't love it.
Did you love it?
I'm okay with it, but I also see why people are a little upset about it.
Explain.
Algeo was hurt. I'm more upset with their reason.
Algeo was very hurt, by the way, because I can tell you, he's like, I don't know what it looked like on the broadcast, to be honest, but he is on like hyper deer legs, like all over the octagon for a while. He's not in control of his body.
Right. So I would have been okay if the stoppage happened then, right away. But it goes on. Algio gathers himself a little bit. And the finishing sequence or finishing strikes that land, he does not give the same reaction. He's like ready. He's ready to fight back. He's waving the guy on. On the post fight, we had Rashad Evans say, "Just let me get knocked out." And I'm like, that's what he's there for, to prevent yourself from yourself.
but like, you know what? He is speaking as a fighter. Right. I get it.
But they're speaking as experts on handling the situation.
I feel like there does need to be a lot more balance in the way things are handled. What we'll often get when someone like John Anik is on the broadcast is he'll kind of force himself to be devil's advocate in a lot of these situations. Like, he's clearly seeing there's a balance one way with his co-commentators, right? They're saying one thing, and he'll often throw it out the other way just to offer like another side. Like, he doesn't go crazy. Like, there's times where he can't do it. But I like the way John does it. And frankly, that's just not what Brendan Fitzgerald does. And does he have to do that? No, but it's certainly appreciated when Anik does that.
Yeah. And also we had, his name is escaping me. He's always
Scott Fontaine.
No, I know you. I know you.
Oh, okay.
He's always on the post fight with Karen Bryant, usually in the studio.
So I'm let me see, Alan Jobin.
Yeah, okay, that's it. And I couldn't think of his name. Alan
Jobin.
Well,
by the elevator. When I was looking for the bathroom and I was lost, he and his, I think his son were heading to the elevator.
He was trying to explain that the referee needs to know that Bill Algio is a durability fighter. So you got to let him fight through some adversity. And I'm like, that's not how it goes.
Really a thing.
What is he supposed to do? Sign it? Hey, I'm a durability fighter. Let me get killed.
I like there should be boxes. So. Like, are you durable? Heck yeah. Can you see? Heck yeah. Do you have both eyes working? Heck yeah.
Yeah. So I'm okay with the stoppage. It wasn't getting better for Algio, but also at the same time, he looked a little bit not as rocked as earlier. So
I think I know what you mean. I do. I didn't react to the stoppage like, oh, come on, guys, from my seat. And I watched the entire thing. I had a really good view of Algio doing the deer leg dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it didn't look good. It just didn't. He was not in control. Like, his legs are so bad like that because he suffered brain trauma.
Yeah.
He didn't hurt his leg and he hobbled around. He's not there. So there's enough signs that I see where this guy really ought not to be fighting. It's kind of like, it's similar. It's not the same, but it reminds me a little bit of Shane Burgos against, what was it, Edson Barboza, where his legs like basically just stopped working, but he was like very clearly like kind of alert.
Like that super delayed knockout.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was,
it kind of reminded me of that. I'm not saying they're the same situation, but there was some semblance of similarity there where the brain seems like it's kind of okay, but the body's just not working right. And it was obviously because of damage suffered to the head.
Yeah.
So how do we trust that he can definitely protect himself ably at that point? I say we can't necessarily, but I also agree with you in the sense that, hey, maybe we were already there and why you're going to let it go, but nothing really happened worse. It's just kind of like it went too long. I don't know that's the reason to stop it. It was not clean. It was not clean, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
So, not the greatest of nights on the whole for Gary Copeland. It just really wasn't.
And also real quick, I want to I thought this was a great stoppage actually in the Ibo Aslan Anton Turkoglu fight.
Okay.
I think some people had an issue with that because Turkoglu gets dropped and he's bad. He like has a brace. He doesn't even brace himself. He's sitting down. His hands are on the mat. I don't know where he's looking, but he's about to get destroyed. And mercifully, he did not have to take any extra shots there.
I like that stoppage too. I thought that was a good stoppage. Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out.
Sure. Dan, we talked about a lot of adventures of officiating. We still have some contestant rounds to get to.
Yeah.
You had told me 5 when we were talking about it the other night. No, it's actually, what, 7?
It's 7, yeah. Well, I was wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking, I suppose. 17 out of 24 unanimous. Still, honestly, a reasonable number, 70.8%. That's about average, not too bad. We had some, real veteran officials working with some of the local New Jersey officials. You always like to see a good mix. It helps. It helps get them experience and that kind of thing at the higher levels. This is how we make better refs, better judges, better officials everywhere. So I like seeing that. Having said that, we're going to get into some rounds that some people were not particularly thrilled with. So as is often the case, but I feel like this year we've had less fights where everyone's like, oh, come on, guys. And that's a tweet. I directly quoted that. The accent and everything. We got to start, I think, with the fight that made everybody like probably the most mad, right? Is this, would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I would probably agree. Well,
and not because of the result, but just because of the scoring.
Of course, because it's the weirdest round.
Yeah.
And it highlights a lot of misunderstanding of the criteria.
Sure, sure. And that fight, of course, was the opener of the main card, Chidi Njokuani getting the win over Reese McKee. It was a split decision. Anytime you get a split, it's like, oh, here we go. Everyone, like, their heart just drops no matter what. Unless they knew it was like just a hyper close fight, right? 30-27 twice, and then 29-28 the other way. So the optics there are not always greatest, right? People hate seeing that. That can't compute, right? Mm. 1 and 2, we are split on. Let's start with the first, man.
I think it's a really close round. Both guys landed some good shots. Really good leg kicks from Njokuani. Couple good shots upstairs from McKee. And then McKee gets a clinch against the cage. And it seems like that was his goal, to get him clinched against the cage. And nothing else after that. All the while, Njokuani keeps kneeing him in the gut. I think they're a little bit better than a Storley knee. There's not much more that happened this round. When they do separate for like the final 20 seconds, I think it was, Njokuani lands another nice leg kick. I think it's an Njokuani round. Very close, though.
I don't know if it's very close, but I think it's certainly close enough that you can go either way. I sided with you. I went the same way. I had it for Njokuani. I really thought that those leg kicks were really good because there's a couple of reasons. Number one, you see the visible damage, and it's not just, okay, pale Irish guy. You can see, like, there's like a little bit of bleeding under the skin.
Quite a deep bruise, it looked like.
That's not just like, oh, he just wears damage because he's got no pigmentation. It's a little different, right? Mm. And he does have no pigmentation.
Yeah, it just wasn't red.
Very cool. I also don't have a ton, so we're kind of in the same boat. But that was number one. Number two was, I felt like by the time that those leg kicks were kind of like really starting to pile up, that's when Reese McKee was like, yo, I got to clinch up here. Okay. It was to change things up. Mm-hmm. I kind of read it like that.
Okay.
I read that as a bit of a reaction, you know?
Okay.
Am I reading too far into it? I don't know. I could be. But in the context of that, and someone could tell me, hey, that's not really the way to go as far as judging. But I thought that was saying, yo, these leg kicks that you can see are actually adding up. I want to do something different. I don't like this anymore. Let's change it up. It's kind of like when you go for a takedown, right?
Yeah, I feel good about that.
Does that sound crazy to you?
No, good point. Good point.
Yeah. So again, I had that way. I still don't think it's like a slam dunk. It is a reasonably close enough round, but yeah, I feel like even when you were going through it, you listed a lot more offense that Njokuani was able to successfully do than you did Reese McKee. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, we agreed in the majority here, of course, with Sal D'Amato and Chris Lee. It was Mamuna Querido, the former Muna Holland, 5-3 mixed martial artist in her own right. She went for McKee here.
All right.
Round two.
So McKee does have a little bit of success early in the round, and he tries to keep getting to this clinch. But Njokuani landed good kicks again. Good knees. A few good elbows. One really good one. I think he wins it. I don't think McKee really fought that much. He did a lot of controlling of Njokuani.
Anti-fighting.
Like, just, you know, run the clock out type stuff. Which I think does confuse people and be like, oh, he held him against the fence. He controlled him. Cage control. Blah, blah, blah. Which, in reality, that doesn't, you know, matter. I think Njokuani is the score.
I'm going to say that too. Number one, I do agree with you. But I had a thought, just as I kind of said, anti-fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really on the books that says, like, hey, you do anything about the idea of quote-unquote anti-fighting, which would be, like, actions that neutralize the ability to get the fight toward its finish, right?
Right.
And there's a difference between, like, working towards something in the clinch and, like, here I'm just kind of holding you down, right? Lay and pray, or the equivalent on the cage. There's nothing in the scoring criteria that you do anything with that. It's kind of just like nothing's happening. What do you say to the idea? Maybe I'm being devil's advocate here. Maybe it's a bad idea. What do you say to making some sort of language on the books that says, like, you actually get negative credit in the sense for actions that are obviously not working toward anything else, not toward any sort of finish and not going anywhere?
Well, I think you would probably put that in somewhere with timidity.
Sure, that makes sense. But they would need to kind of make sure that that is linked to timidity more, more like opaquely, more clearly, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, see, it's weird because I don't really like separations. I'm kind of with Rogan in the sense you got put here, figure a way out. But I also understand the guy on top has to do something. You give the judges something to score. Just getting the takedown isn't gonna cut it.
Sure.
Like, so
there's a difference too, though, between, like, let's say it is on the ground, right? You get the takedown and you're doing, you know, the John Fitch thing that you loved so very much. You're lying down. You're not moving anywhere. That obviously is one thing. But then there's the you advance position, but you're actually not done much with it. That I feel like is like, okay, at least something happened, you know? When you're up against the cage, and especially in the way that Rhys McKee is, he's not doing anything.
Right.
I mean, is he doing something on a micro level? Sure.
Well,
probably. But like the fight is, he's not going to win that fight, or he's not going to hurt this person by doing what he's doing.
No,
maybe over the course of 35 minutes, he'll eventually tire him out if he has the gas tank for it. But they've only got 15 minutes to do this.
Yes. I kind of understand when Dom Cruise says controlling a person is not easy. It's hard work. And 100%.
Sure. Yeah.
But also you have to, you're not getting closer to finishing the fight.
It's a fight. Said, it is not a grappling contest, right?
Like
this is different.
And in no time limit, yeah. Wear him down.
Sure.
Let the crowd boo you for 20 minutes. But now this guy is zapped, and now you can actually give them something to cheer for.
And look, this is an entertainment sport.
Yeah.
This is an entertainment sport. I hear when I hear a lot of people push back against the idea of open scoring, it's the idea that it would kind of hurt the entertainment value, right?
Mm-hmm.
This would, in theory, boost the entertainment value, because if you're just going to sit there and lean against the cage, you already are aware that you're not going to win in this situation. You have to act. So I don't hate the idea of it. I don't know how cleanly you can work that in. Maybe I'm nuts. I haven't thought this through. It kind of just came to me as we were talking about it. So, but anyway, we should get back to this round. I think absolutely. The call here is Enzo Cavani. I kind of thought so at the time, too, when I was watching cage side. I didn't get to watch the first round as closely cage side. Second round, I did.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching that much more closely with the IM scoring. And I am very surprised that McKee got a round here. Now, Querido is as far away from the action as I am. She was about 50, maybe 10, 15 feet away from me. We're both on the opposite side of where this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, things could look a little different like that. I didn't pay attention if she was looking at her screen or not, because she's got the monitor there, of course, as well. So I don't know. It's entirely possible she just had a bad angle and thought enough had happened over there. So, hey, it is what it is. But I saw it as like, well, this is obviously the action is actually getting closer to the end because of what Enzo Cavani is doing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe those elbows didn't really look like anything because they are short strikes on TV.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, maybe we're just being jerks. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What do you want from me? Come on.
What do you want from me? I like it. But yeah, so we sided with the majority here. I don't love this score, but I don't want to put it on the list. I don't think it's quite there.
Yeah, we don't have to do that. No, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't think it's there. It is still a little surprising, but it is what it is. And the right person won. Hey, we got there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to Julio Arce, going back to that fight. Again, second round TKO victory over Herbert Burns. Round one, we're split, though, before that. So what's happening here?
Yeah, I thought this was a kind of a low-output round. He had the two stoppages in the round.
Low-ish. Low-ish.
But throughout, I didn't think really neither guy landed that much or really had that much. I think RC had two decent exchanges, one to the head into the body. I think Burns had more exchanges, maybe not to as high of a degree as RC's. Good punches in the clinch. I thought it was really close. I see it both ways, but I went Burns.
Essentially, we're talking about a power versus volume situation in a lowish output round. which always gets tricky, right? I went the other way. I gave it to Arce. I thought the power was enough there on what he was landing that I'm going to weigh that a little more heavily. But I respect the way you went, and I think it's totally viable. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. I was in the majority, though. So I gave the round to Arce alongside of Adrian Castro, a judge I'm not familiar with and didn't get the chance to look into. So I'm assuming a local judge. And Chris Lee, a judge I'm not familiar with and who I haven't gotten the chance to look into. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I know him. I've heard that name before. You went with Sal D'Amato in this case. But actually, because of the point taken, it's not 10-9 versus 10-9. It's 10-8 Arce or 9-9 if you gave the round to Burns. So you gave a 9-9.
Hmm.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Arce took it out.
He did.
And a nice win for him, too. He lost, you know, he obviously missed weight. He was coming back from a bit of a layoff and, you know, ended his contract with the UFC. I think he's hoping to get re-signed. But I want, you know, he kind of needed a good finish. And this was a good finish, too. It was a nice way to end it. He was smart, he said. He kind of dragged Burns into those later parts of the round, which is to say past the halfway point when Burns is already dead tired, as he always is. And yeah, it was smart. It worked out. Let's move on, though, we're going to go back to that fight you mentioned earlier, Ibo Aslan getting the win over Anton Turkoglu in round 3 by TKO. Nice right hand puts him down and leads to the finish there, right? But the first round was split. So, Dan, what's happened in this
one? Well, defense was not a priority for either guy in this round.
Or should it be? It's kind of useless.
Well, it's a good thing. MMA is an offensive sport.
No.
A lot of rock'em sock'em style fighting here. And that's really it from both sides. I think the impact was pretty close, but I lean Aslan, especially when he's going back. He was landing some big shots. It was a very fun round. Both guys
had a fun round, yeah, for sure.
Both guys had really good offense. I thought the volume was close. I'm going Aslan for the slight edge in impact, 10-9.
Sure. Yeah, me too. It's, you know, it's not coin toss, but it's, man, you're pretty much right no matter what you pick, as long as you can justify it, you know?
Yeah.
Tricky one for sure. We sided in the majority with judges Adrian Castro, once again, and Sal D'Amato, a new judge that I've not looked into yet. And it was, again, Judge Carrido giving the round to Turkoglu. Now, by the way, I did want to bring up when we were talking about Judge Carrido and Nahalan before is the fact that I tweeted during in the aftermath when everyone was kind of like, oh, this decision, da, 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 da. And I just wanted to remind people that Nahalan was, in fact, a fighter, as I mentioned earlier. Everyone's calling for fighters to be judges, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a fighter, a former fighter, accomplished fighter, 5-3. It's not like 10,000 fights, but like realistically, do I want fighters with 10,000 fights be judging? I don't know if that's the greatest idea either, for a different reason. She has some nice opponents on her card. She got a win over Karina Dom. She got a win over Pearl Gonzalez. She lost her final fight to Nina Ansaroff, who's now Nina Nunes. This is someone who like fought, and if you don't like it, and you're complaining all the other times like, oh, you got to get former judges or former fighters to be judges. Like, well, this is one. Sorry. You know, you can like it or not, but you're getting what you want in this case. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's a terrible judge for sure. It's unfortunate that she lives in a part of the country that's not always getting like a billion assignments. So I don't know how often she's working. But yeah, I'm sure she gets in her reps, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So look, you want former fighters. Here's a former fighter. That is what it is. If you don't like it, that's on you. But this is what we have. Moving on, we got 3 more rounds to get to. Co-main event this time. Joaquin Buckley getting the win over Vicente Luque. Round 2, technical knockout. But the first was a split round. Sir, what happened?
Yeah, very close round. Buckley's throwing combos. Luque is more of a one strike at a time type strategy at the moment. But he's landing pretty decently. Okay. I think Buckley has higher impact. He had good leg kicks. Luque has a couple good body kicks. There's a moment that's a little weird where Buckley lands a right hand and Luque kind of sits down. Not really sure if he was knocked down or if he was, you know, because in the second round he pulls guard. So I don't know if he was trying to pull guard here. It was really strange look away. But anyway, I like it for Buckley. 10-9.
Yeah, I did too. But yeah, close enough. I don't have a strong opinion on this one because I could see in another timeline me picking Luque here.
Mm.
Just don't have a whole lot to say on that. So we ended up again in the majority with judges Eric Colone and Dave Torelli. The New Jersey connection was strong, even though Judge Torelli at least knows that it's Taylor Ham. So that's always nice. And I assume anyway. And it was Sal D'Amato off on his own for this one. I got to look into that judge. I don't know much about him. By the way, I did make sure to ask Erin Blanchfield a very important question, sir, when I interviewed her the other day.
Oh, good, good. What do we got?
Is it Taylor Ham or is it Pork Roll?
Yes.
And immediately goes, Taylor Ham. I'm like, that's a thought.
All right, there you go. Yeah, she gets the next title shot based on that.
Honestly, now probably. Like, the results of the fight are kind of moot at this point. We need somebody who's repping Taylor Ham to have a belt. That's what's up. Two more to get to. This one comes in a clear victory for Vanna Jandadoba, getting the win over Lupi Godinez in a big test for her. Didn't quite pass it this time. A 30-27 and 2-29-28 going the way of Jandadoba. Round two is where the one round we are split, with two judges giving it to Godinez. What's happened in this?
Yeah, well, a large majority of this round was spent in a leg entanglement.
This is your very typical striking round where everyone's just legs are tangled and they're punching each other on the ground. Just a normal round.
But a little bit before that, I think Godinez had the edge on the feet. She landed some good shots, some good kicks. Once it's on the ground, Godinez is attacking the leg, whether she's looking for a knee bar, calf slicer, heel hook, straight ankle. She kind of looked for all of those. None were close. Jandadoba had her leg, defended pretty well. And then a lot of them is both of them just throwing punches in this position at each other. I think Jandadoba's are a bit less impact, pretty low impact, I would say, while Godinez was letting a few go, even though she was on the bottom for a lot of it. I like it for Godinez.
I like it for Godinez too. It's not egregious. You know, there is, it's again, it's a very weird round. I'm joking, of course, and being facetious, but yeah, strange round. I get how you can make this close. But I let the edge be more or less the standing.
Okay.
You know, that's how it kind of ended up in the end. So we, again, we're in the majority here for Godinez with judges Eric Colon and Mamuna Querido. I don't know where or if in New Jersey she is from, but I'm going to hope. I'm just hoping she's on Team Taylor Ham, because if she's not, I mean, good God, that McKee fight was egregious. Throw her back on the list. Last round. And this one is our 10-8-9 split, sir. And I didn't actually catch the way they said his name correctly. Is it Callan or Kalen?
Not a clue.
Okay. Irish name. Drive me nuts. Kalen Loughran. We'll call him Kalen Loughran. Got the win over Angel Pacheco. 2 30-27s. And that sneaky 30-26 thrown in there. Round two is the instance where we're talking about degree of round victory for Loughran. What happened in this round?
I thought this round started out great. It was going to be just a slugfest. They both landed big shots on each other. And then Loughran decided, I'm going to take you down. Gets to the back, attacked a rear naked choke, abandoned the choke to start landing some big ground and pound. Pacheco survives it, but it's not long before he's eating another barrage of punches. There are some lulls in this round, especially when Pacheco, like after being stuck on the back for like 3 minutes, he's able to, you know, get back to half guard at least. So there's some lulls there. But I think the damage from Loughran is high enough. He has the dominance. Some good bursts of offense. I think the question is, did Pacheco earn his 9 or did Loughran earn the 8? And I lean that he earned the 8. This was a solid round for him. So I'm 10-8.
Man, I didn't agonize over it because I'm not, you know, sweating at that degree. But I had a real tough time on this one. I think this is real borderline. This is like one of those rounds where it's like, shoot, if you gave the 8, I get it. If you gave the 9, I totally get it. Like, not a problem. I did side with Team 8 here as well for Loughran. Yeah, I think he just piles enough offense up. I think the damage is pretty solid. I can realistically check off to at least some degree, I think, all 3 Ds.
Yeah, and when they get back,
which is why it's weird that I'm like, you know, I can see it either way, but I think all of them, like most of them, are kind of like, gee, I don't know. I can see how you don't get there, you know?
Well, here's the thing. I think where I was at, once it's on the ground and he's landing all these shots, I get to the 8. And then they stand back on the feet. I'm like, okay, I'm at an 8. Can Pacheco fight back to a 9 here? And I saw a lot of strikes that he was throwing just didn't have the steam on them, nor were they landing. So I stuck with the 8 there.
Yeah. Nah, again, you can kind of go either way. But it was the 9 was the majority score, which we did not side with. That came from judges Eric Colon and Adrian Castro. It was Dave Torelli, Who rolled the dice on the 8? Damn, what does that mean for Judge Torelli?
Catch that override.
You know, I might not have to mail this one. I should probably drive it over to the Tiger Shulman's gym or something.
Yeah, bring him some Taylor ham, too.
Yeah, oh, definitely. 100%. Love me some Taylor ham. And I hope Judge Torelli does, too. Otherwise, this is definitely a 9. Although, gee, I don't know, because we got the South Jersey connection on here. You definitely see the pork rolls. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know what to do. It was a 10-10. but that is it for our contested rounds. We had, like I said before, 8 finishes. All 8 finishes were KO or TKO. We had no submissions.
How disappointing. We had
2 fights in the first round. What's that?
How disappointing.
Yeah, I know. You like to pick your subs. It didn't happen this time. But of those 8 strikes-based finishes, what was your favorite?
Well, it was Joaquin Buckley saying, anti-jiu-jitsu, I'm just going to sit in your guard and pound you out until the ref stops it. So, yeah, Luque pulled guard, and Joaquin said, okay, whatever. I'm just going to keep punching the face. And he got the stoppage. So
now, did you hear that apparently Luque took a dive in this one, and James Krause gave him like an envelope and said, good job.
I heard one person mention this. I'm like,
yeah, it was Joaquin Buckley.
Oh, did he say it? Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Buckley was saying this.
Oh, I didn't know he was the one saying it. Yeah. Why would he say
it? I'm like 98%. Now that you don't know that for sure, I'm double checking it too. Cause I'm pretty sure.
Why would he try to discredit his own win?
That's what I was trying to figure out too. I couldn't really understand it, but
he looked tremendous. That's weird. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it because now that I put that, but yeah, here it is. It was on Ariel's show. Vicente Luque quit at UFC Atlantic City. Didn't want to be there in the first place. So that was number one. I believe he did. I'm trying to look for the James Krause thing because I swear that came from him. Maybe it didn't come from him. All right. Well, someone was saying it. I guess maybe it wasn't him.
Okay.
But I can't find it now. So unless they just left that out, I don't know why they would do that. Because guy said it. If he did say it. At any rate, that didn't actually happen. For the record, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite?
I went with a bit of an unorthodox one here because I wasn't in love with many of the finishes. I thought that most of them were like fine to weird, you know. There's certainly a decent amount of weird in there. Two of the TKOs were based on at least related to eye pokes, so there's that. Mm-hmm. And then you had the deer legs thing people didn't love, so that narrowed it down. I went with Jacob Malkoon, who countered a takedown attempt with the ultimate hip strike, and then finished his opponent Andre Petroski with a soccer kick to the body. So it was basically just your typical training situation manifesting in real life. We've seen this a million times.
Actually, funny story.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you remember Wednesdays at AMA, not the newer gym, the one in the strip mall.
The original location.
So Wednesdays was all live training. The first half hour was on the feet, like King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I took a shot from, you know, 30 feet out like I was Steph Curry. And he just hipped in so hard right into my head. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm seeing stars.
So you had flashbacks, whereas everyone else who was watching this fight was like, what happened?
I was like, yep, that could definitely end a fight for sure. So
you were the one person that I know who actually was like, oh, I see that.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't figure it out. None of us could figure it out. It was like all of a sudden he was like done. Like, was it an injury? Was he? I don't know what it was.
But I think Malkoon also Malkoon also said something that he thinks he hurt Petroski with a crossface earlier.
Yeah. So like the crippler crossface. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then he went for flying kick off the top. And then, well, I won't go down that road. you know where I would go. But yeah, that was a weird one. I had no idea what was happening, but I didn't love anything. So basically just the fact that he soccer kicked him to the body when there was an opportunity to, that was like, you know what? Good on him. That's good, a smart thing.
Good for him.
I was having a conversation with another media member. It was like, God, it was a little dangerous to go for the soccer kick there. I'm like, that's to the body. Like, you should do it.
Yeah.
You see more of that. Most of the time, they're not prone like that. But, you know, when they are, do it. That is it for UFC Atlantic City, from which I drove back 2 hours at 2 a.m. to get back to North Jersey so I can get back for Easter morning with the kiddos. And yeah, I'm all told that I make mistakes in life is kind of the way this story ends. Part of the reason why we were delayed anyway. But we've got two events coming up this week. Not even this weekend, dude. We've got a weekday fight and a weekend fight. This is unusual.
Well,
I'm not even talking about Friday. I'm talking we got Thursday PFL.
Right. That, but I'm saying this is a major like week for just fights. There's like one has a fight card, KSW has a fight card, LFA fight card, PFL, UFC. It's a busy fight week for Kaposa.
That's so. Right. Kaposa is going to be all over the place, but either living in his element or questioning his life choice.
Not to mention WrestleMania. Well, so
I don't know if that individual cares about that or not. But
I'm just saying it's a busy weekend.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to make any predictions about WrestleMania? Because I certainly won't know what you're talking about.
I'm not making any predictions other than it's been awesome with The Rock back.
Okay. I have observed that. It's funny. If the idea of wrestling comes up against, and I'm with certain company when we're waiting for the kids to come out of school,
mm-hmm.
like I can talk sports with these people and it's like, yeah, we just have conversation. When wrestling comes in, light goes on. They change. It's a much different level of enthusiasm. it's amazing to see. And these are like casual wrestling fans who like only kind of dive in for WrestleMania. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see that. But yeah, so I don't really care about WrestleMania. Sorry. I don't really want to talk about it. But PFL, like we said, is back on Thursday. They're starting their 2024 season. Main card starts at 10 p.m. We have Eastern time, I should point out. And I believe it is ESPN, sir. And we'll stick with that. Heavyweights and women's flyweights. For the first time, PFL has a season for much, much more intriguing than women's lightweight. Fair to say.
Yes.
Nah. I'm interested especially in this heavyweight headliner, unless it goes past five rounds, in which case I'm very angry. But Ante D'Elia is going against Valentin Moldavsky. These are two elite on the roster anyway. Fighters from PFL and from Bellator coming in Moldavsky. I'm interested to see how this goes. I kind of like the cross-pollination that we're going to get now. I am intrigued by this season with mm-hmm. regard to that. I don't know how you feel about
it. Okay.
Could care less or whatever.
I'm going to watch him.
By the way, I only just now saw your note with regard to the judges. This fight is in San Antonio, the Texas judges. But that is not why I snickered. It is because I saw that you mentioned it's at the Boeing Center.
Yes. Let's hope the building stays intact.
well said. I like that, Dan. But yeah, let's also hope the judging stays intact because
yeah,
never know. Heavyweights, do your job. 5 minutes and out. You got to do it.
Get it done.
Women's featherweights or flyweights, good luck. We'll see how it goes. Liz Carmouche against Juliana Velasquez, 3. Interesting to do it because obviously the first fight kind of there was that controversy about the way it ended. Second fight, very clearly Carmouche won. Now we have the third fight. The trilogy fight is not for 5 rounds, it's 3 rounds. So it's like, okay, I guess there's that, but sure.
The unnecessary trilogy fight.
What's that? I'm sorry, dude.
The unnecessary trilogy fight.
A very anticlimactic and unnecessary trilogy fight. Yeah, I think
it's like game 3 of a 7-game series, so I guess you can treat it that way.
Are you implying you want 4 more of these?
I'm not saying I want it. I'm saying it just might happen.
Don't see it, sir. I do not see it happening. But Tyler Santos will be fighting. She jumped over from the UFC. Her contract ran out, and I guess she wasn't retained or she moved on. Fighting Ilara Joani from Bellator. All coming together. Bellator and PFL. Or Bellator and UFC coming together in PFL.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strange bedfellows we have now, but I'm intrigued by this fight. There's also Dakota Dicheva is fighting on this one. I think she's a sleeper to win the whole thing this year. I don't think that's an unpopular pick either, but I could see it. Do you have a prediction on who's going to win the seasons for these?
No, I don't know. I don't know all the participants in all the divisions. So,
all right. Well, I tell you who I'm going to pick. I'm picking Linton Vassell.
Okay.
That's my pick. I think he'll get it done. But we'll see. And then also for the women's side. Yeah, you know what? For the women's side, I'm going to pick Liz Carmouche. I think she's still the best there is in here.
Okay.
But that is, again, that is not all we have. You mentioned a lot of the other promotions. We're focused squarely on the North American promotions because of the judging aspect. UFC Vegas 90, as you labeled it, Warehouse Poop 2 Skid Marks. Not the greatest of names, but like I guess people will remember it, sure. 6 p.m. Eastern time, main card, headlined by Brendan Allen against Chris Curtis, number two. This was kind of put together after. Who was Allen supposed to fight, by the way? You remember the original opponent?
Yeah, he was the Italian guy. I forgot his name.
That's right, Marvin Vittori.
Marvin Vittori, that's it, yeah. I knew it was an M. I almost said Mirab because I couldn't think of the
M. We couldn't figure out how to put the shorts on, so we had to pull out. But yeah, this is here's a five-round middleweight fight that is a rematch we didn't necessarily need, but at least it salvaged the fight. I do like Brendan Allen, and I do like Chris Curtis. I don't know how.
Chris Curtis is slowly trying to earn my love.
Oh, is that right?
Because he's starting to fight a lot. He takes a lot of fights, it seems. So
he does. He always has. I think he's always been pretty active.
So
yeah. Be one of your guys or just like get on your side?
Get on my side because I know his coach gets on the wrong side of me, you know, with all the critiquing of the judging and things.
Sure, sure.
But
get a little anxious about Eric Nixick there, I guess.
Yeah. So
hey, you know what? I get it. It's just, you know, there's ways to find the answers. But at any rate, I don't really have a whole lot of fights that on this card that I was like super into. That's, you put down
so yeah
the ones that makes a lot of sense.
I only put that one down because it's the only other fight that's going to advance anything.
Yeah, it's the only thing that has anything to do with the future, right?
Yeah,
let's say immediate future. You know,
yeah, like the immediate like consequences, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And the rest of it are mostly just some fights and that kind of thing, right? So Norma Dumont going against Jermaine Duranamy. We haven't seen Duranamy fight in several years. She's had a layoff. I believe she either had a baby before or after the layoff, which is to say she had a baby. So there's that. basically said that. She was supposed to fight back in November 2021 and didn't happen, and we haven't seen her since. So that was kind of weird. But her last fight, by the way, was a third round finish where she choked out Juliana Pena 3.5 years ago. This is if she's anything like she was, and gosh, who could tell at this point, so much time has passed, but if she's anything like she was, realistically, she's still a threat to win the championship and become, believe it or not, a two division champion.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. The original featherweight champion never defended it. If you don't like to think of her like that, fine, that's on you, but it did happen. You can't deny reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's that would be something, right?
That would be pretty wild.
I feel like for a lot of people, it would undermine the two division champion thing, especially if she goes out and doesn't defend. Imagine she wins that belt too, and she's like, "Nah, I'm done." Dude, she would be just reviled in the MMA community. I don't wish that upon her, but you know, it's just that's what would happen. Not a lot of understanding folks, right?
No. All right, we'll be back again next week. I'm not going to guarantee on Monday.
Let's pull for it, all right?
We're going to try for Monday, but especially for me, it's a busy weekend, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay, I get you.
But we'll try.
Yeah, just know that you're like our third or seventh priority, believe me.
I'm also shadowing this weekend.
Good luck, sir. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Don't F up.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Take care, everybody.